When the film comes back from stock, was your first step to go there and say, let's see it, let's see?
I was very curious. I wasn't in the whole film transfer process. I let Clay and Will, the cinematographer, go and do that, because during that process, they also do some color changes as well. And so they got to see it all before me, and they would tell me how awesome it looked and how excited they were. So yes, it just made me even more excited. But yeah, it was cool seeing that actually we got everything that we shot. That was good.
In some scenes, the camera concentrates, or the story concentrates, on your character. In other scenes, it concentrates on the boy character. And what you get in both is the perspective of the young girl or the young boy. We have these different perspectives, and they, how to say, merge together, and this works. I like this very much. Was it during the cutting, the editing process, that this happened, or was it intentional before and you said we have to do it?
Well, it was a little bit of both, you know. There was obviously a lot of discovery during the editing process. Even the structure of the movie, to a large extent, was discovered during the editing process. But we did go into the movie with an idea of what the shape of the movie was going to be like, an idea of what the movie was going to feel like, and perspective as well. You know, in some ways, we were very much inspired by, you know, I had grown up with my older sister on the same farm. My mother had grown up with her cousin, my grandfather with his brother and sister on the exact same farm. So from the beginning, and we knew that this was going to be an interesting story where there would be two protagonists who would share the screen, and the perspective, we would see both of their worlds. You know, we wanted to see through the eyes of the 12-year-old boy and through the eyes of the 18-year-old girl. We wanted to feel their personal anxieties. In order to accomplish that, we needed to be able to see the world from their perspectives, you know. So we definitely made an intention to do this, but in the editing, of course, it was very much, there was a place there for us to really discover the flow of the movie and to realize sometimes that this scene was really very much from the perspective of Moss when, you know, maybe we didn't know that at first, but you combine a certain amount of shots with a certain voiceover and it becomes a very personal to one character or the other. But yeah, you know, so I hope that answers the question. We definitely were trying to capture those feelings of seeing the world through these two characters' eyes, and we wanted them to share on very much an equal footing, you know. For, in my mind, the movie is called Jess and Moss because there is not just one main character, there are two, you know, and that's what makes it so difficult in the end when they must go their separate ways. We're so used to them sharing everything, even screen time and perspective in the movie. That when they have to split, the feeling is very, it's very bittersweet. It's sad, but it feels necessary. But still, it's a bit heartbreaking, you know.
Would you say that Moss helped Jess a lot to find her way?
Yeah, I would. You know, there was, I think. Moss, I mean, Jess and Moss, both of them, all they have is the best intention for each other. And I know Moss, even though he was sad that I had to leave, I think he understood and he knew why. And I think at some points he like would help encourage me to do that and figure out what I'm going to do with my life. And then at some points he would be not wanting me to go, or wanting me to stay there with him. But in the end, it was necessary that Jess leave, and he did help in a big way. And
hard decisions to be made.
I know.
As a radio journalist, I was very much attracted to the tape recording and to the soundtrack and the sound design of the movie, because we have all these recordings from Jess, from Moss, and from the mother of Jess as well. So the tapes are even a character in the movie. This was intended from the beginning as well, to have this special soundtrack.
Yeah, definitely it was intended from the beginning. You know, in many ways, as we said, this movie is about memory, and it's also about artifacts. It's about artifacts from a life that has already happened, or a life that is going by right now. You know, the young boy Moss is obsessed with trying to remember everything in his life, and you know, we have to. It leaves us with the question of why he's so obsessed with this. Maybe it has something to do with wanting to remember his parents, you know, from when he was very, very young. But you know, so the movie is in many ways is about artifacts and the records and specifically cassette tapes. Are these like slowly degrading, you know, artifacts from a life that's already happened, you know, or a life that's passing them by even as they're creating these tapes, you know? So there's the tapes that are from Jess's mother that were, you know, recorded for her maybe 6 or 8 years earlier, that she still listens to over and over again, even though they're degrading and falling apart. There are the tapes that the two have created with each other, and sometimes when we're listening to these tapes, we can't help but think this, that we maybe are in, you know, a present that's 50 years later in the future, and we're hearing these old tapes from the last summer they ever spent together, you know, rather than we're hearing the tape that they made the day before. Also, there are these tapes that are self-help tapes that are called Mega Memory, where that the boy listens to with the promise that it's going, by listening to these tapes, it will expand his memory 500% so that he can remember everything. So, yes, memory, I think, is tied very much to the analog cassette tapes, that the more you listen to them, like the film, the more they slowly fall apart and degrade and become static and disappear. And that memory that you're trying to hold on to by listening to over and over again ultimately becomes faded and lost by the attempts that you make to try to, you know, listen to them over and over again, you know.
You like the tape recording as well, or can you tell us something about the tape recording?
Yeah, it was fun. The having the tape recordings there, the tape recorder there, was very helpful because Clay would just give it to me and Austin and tell us to go and just talk about what kids talk about, just anything, just record it and call each other Jess and Moss. And so that helped a lot with, you know, 'cause like you said before, we were having to improvise a lot. And with film, you can't really, you need to be precise in what you're going to get because there's only a limited amount of film and we didn't have much money. And so we definitely, like, we did improvise, but we, you know, it wasn't as much as we could have when we were shooting just because, you know, we could only do it one or two times and we had to say at least something that forward the scene along or not and be somewhat on our game and not get too sidetracked with improvisation. But with the tape recordings, it just gave us the freedom to go and just talk about whatever we want, and then they can go and pick out what they wanted to use and put in there. So actually it was very helpful to have tape recordings and tapes in general be the main, and memory be the main theme of this movie.